Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, recapping 2016 Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Fresh off his flight from Mobile, back in outside of Pittsburgh again, is Alex Cazora. Alex, you just flew in, and boy, are your arms tired.
And so is my mind, Dave. It was a absolutely thrilling week. I couldn't be happier with how everything went. Very exhausting mentally. So in that way, I'm glad to be back home.
And for those of you, we were able to get that first podcast in, but Alex, due to time constraints and also a poor Wi-Fi connection at his hotel, we were unable to do another one or two podcasts on that. But we've got plenty of time to talk not only tonight but in future regular editions of the podcast as well too. Alex will surely be I'm sure sitting in for David several times throughout the off season. So whatever we don't get to tonight. And Alex will kind of recap at the end of this podcast kind of what he has coming as of leftover content from the Senior Bowl that he'll be posting as well too. Alex, just your overall kind of, it was your first it was your first camping trip out of town, really, so to speak. And at that, it was, as you'd like to say, a football mecca. What were your overall kind of thoughts now that you've had time to kind of digest your first Senior Bowl?
Right. It was just incredible, and I can't even find a good word to describe it. First of all, the city of Mobile, I think, is a very pretty city. It's very laid back. It's not this hustle bustle that even a city like Pittsburgh is. It's very easy to kind of find your way around. I think Mardi Gras had started on Thursday, so things started to get a little bit more hectic. Some streets were closed off, but people were having definitely a good time. It's just football everywhere. Every conversation, everywhere you turn, every event that you go to, it's nothing but a football. I mean, we would sit there in the hotel lobby and work on stuff or just hang out or something like that, and you got four conversations about football going every which way. Scouts, coaches, players, draft prospects, they're all there under one wing. You watch practice, you're standing next to coaches. It wasn't me, but I have a friend of mine who at the first practice, he had John Harbaugh on his left and Dan Marino on his right. I mean, it just, where else are you ever going to have that? I would stand next to a couple scouts. At one point, I was standing next to Dan Campbell, who I think is back with the Lions now. But to get to talk to these guys, to get to watch practice, to get to talk to other people, media that was there, to meet them and to learn from them and put a face to the name, it's all extremely valuable. It was an absolute whirlwind of these last couple of days because you're just going from one place to the next. You don't have a whole lot of time to sit down and collect your thoughts. But man, Dave, I wouldn't trade that for the world, and I'm already missing it. I can't wait to get back next year.
You must have not ventured far in the city of Mobile. I could throw a rock almost and hit Mobile. And, downtown is obviously the kind of the best place of the city. And a quick story, the Senior Bowl, of course, has been there for, eons, as long as I can remember, and it used to be sponsored by a grocery chain called Del Champs grocery store. Randy Del Champ was the owner of that, and prior to I guess the combine becoming a bigger thing, and really I guess over the course of the last 10 years, there was actually talk that Mobile is going to lose the Senior Bowl. Attendance wasn't all like that. What it is now, but it really has become sort of I think Phil Savage sort of hit on it this week in one of his interviews. It's like the 33rd NFL franchise, so to speak, because it also really, even though there's other All-Star games that take place ahead of that, it is really the kickoff of the draft season.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is kind of where everything starts. It's big for football junkies and for the scouts and coaches themselves. It's almost a time to get back together and kind of, you know, regroup guys you haven't seen all year long. And a big credit to Phil Savage for, I think, really taking this thing to another level and really making it the media craze that it is and the big event that it is. And real quick, Dave, since you mentioned it at the top of the podcast, certainly in addition to our reports that we've had, our Senior Bowl content is not even close to being done yet. You know, after tomorrow's game wraps up, we'll have final thoughts. I didn't want to post any true final winners and losers until the actual game happened, because that is still, in a way, the most important thing. You want to see how these guys take what they did in practice and carry it over to the game. During that Tuesday media day, I interviewed about 10 players. I haven't gone through any of that at all to transcribe those interviews. Have a couple different ideas for how I want to attack that, so that'll be coming up throughout later this week. And some other final thoughts, maybe some other cool pieces. So definitely still a lot more Senior Bowl content coming this week.
You said you kind of wanted in this podcast to kind of focus on three position groups. What are they, and where would you like to start?
Well, I mean, I thought we could go maybe through each position group. I mean, we can definitely start, if you want to, you know, the main Steelers one. So I don't know which direction you want to go, Dave. Do you want to just go start quarterbacks, or do you want to hit the Steelers, the places I was focusing on, or how do you want to do this?
Let's start with corners and safeties. Mm-hmm. To start with. You know, who stood out to you? And then with that in mind, why did they stand out to you? And are they or are they not Steeler material?
Man, Dave, I really like these cornerbacks down here. I thought it was one of the stronger groups, and at first glance, it might not look like much. There are so many, you know, small school FCS kids here, but I thought a lot of them, you know, really rose to the occasion, and I was happy to see that. I think one of the guys that really comes to mind when you first ask me that question is Harlan Miller from Southeast Louisiana. This is, again, a guy that the weigh-in was probably his worst event because he's about 6'1", I think he's 182, and he's really lanky with a really skinny lower half. I can't imagine the weight room situation in Southeast Louisiana was that great compared to some of these schools. But this guy can, I think, be a really good cornerback in this league. I think he's patient. He's able to read routes. He's got, you know, a great explosion, you know, in transitioning and finding the football and getting after the football. He's got this length to play the pocket and knock the ball out. I think he's just a physical guy that's pretty instinctive, you know, that is explosive. You know, he's obviously coming from a small school, but I think, you know, talking to him, you know, he's a soft-spoken guy, but I think he's definitely an intelligent guy. So I was really impressed with Harlan Miller. I thought all 3 days of practice were great. Sterling Shepard tried to get him on a little pivot route, and Miller was all over it and on top of it to break it up. And one play that really sticks out to me, you know, Shepard, one of the best route runners and explosive guys, to be able to hang with him, I think is really saying something. But there were a lot of other corners too. Jonathan Jones from Auburn came on strong end of the week. A little undersized, but does a great job finding the football in the air, being able to make plays on it in the air, and getting a lot of praise from the guys that are seeing him the most. Gus Bradley, whenever he was asked about what players have kind of stood out, mentioned Jonathan Jones. Sterling Shepard, in his press conference, said that the Jones is one of the better guys he's gone against. So I was impressed with him as well. Some other small school guys might have had some ups and downs. James Bradbury from Sanford certainly looks the part. I think he is kind of stiff. But, you know, he was able to, again, use that length to play the pocket. DeAndre Hall from Northern Iowa had the fourth longest arms of anybody at the Senior Bowl. 34 3/4 is probably almost a record for a cornerback. He can get himself out of position at times, but because he has that length, he's able to recover. The last name I'll give you, Dave, and I'll shut up for a second, a corner, we can talk about safety, is Sean Davis from Maryland, who's kind of playing corner, playing safety, so he's doing both. You know, I thought at the first day was probably the best day, just because when you watch him, I think his explosion and how fluid he is and the quick feet he has to click and close and get downhill might have been the best of any corner I saw there. But I really like Davis, and I'll give you another name. Jalen Mills from LSU is probably a guy that people know. I think he's really instinctive, reads the three-step game really well, and is able to explode and get downhill. I think he has some more problems whenever there are vertical shots and he has to flip his hips and turn and run. He's a little stiff, but in that short intermediate game where you can, you know, play off man and drive downhill, there was no one better at doing that at the combine than Jalen Mills.
How would you rank those guys pretty much as you read them off?
Bradbury would probably be lower on the list because, again, I think he's high in his pedal. I think he's stiff, and of course, he's going to be raw out of Samford. In terms of just what I saw this week, I mean, there's other, you know, obviously a lot of other tape factors involved in competition level, but I thought the most impressive to me was Harlan Miller. I thought Jalen Mills was impressive. And probably Jonathan Jones is close on that list as well. I thought Sean Davis has some tools. I think he's a little over-aggressive at some times where he needs to open up the gate and not let the receiver eat his cushion. He can get beat deep. So I don't have a hard and fast particular order, but I think Harlan Miller was right at near the top.
Definitely Steeler material?
I think so. I mean, I need to get more tape on this guy. Southeast Louisiana tape is a little difficult to find.
Yeah, we're gonna struggle on that one.
Absolutely. I wonder if the physicality is there. I don't think he's shy, but he is a very aggressive corner. I think Jonathan Jones makes a lot of sense. The Steelers do not shy from going with those small guys, be it, you know, Antoine Blake, Brandon Boykin trading for him. Those are guys that are sub-5'10 guys like Jonathan Jones. You know, so that makes sense. And, you know, we've had this discussion. I don't think a corner is going to go in the first round, but guys like Miller and Jones and Sean Davis are not going to be first round picks. So if you're looking, you know, mid round, some guys that will be sitting there, you know, those are going to be guys that Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, we'll be talking about.
Safeties. We've talked a little bit about Kenny Byron a little bit. I've had a chance to watch the Alabama mm-hmm. game. That he played. I thought he played well. I thought, you know, kind of a guy that can play in the box and roam the back end as well, too. What were your thoughts coming out of the weekend on him and some of the other safety prospects?
Yeah, but Byard's a kid I like, about 5'11", 217. I think he's going to profile best as an in-the-box guy. But what's really attractive to me, Dave, is that ability to find and track and high point the football. I think he does take good angles with the ball in the air. Had one. I think he picked off Brissett on, I want to say, Wednesday. Deep.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. Bad throw. But.
Yeah, but just to capitalize, to go up there and get that football and take it away. I mean, that's a playmaker. I don't know. I don't think the straight line speed is there. I think his man-to-man coverage isn't great. But Byard, I talked to him. He's going to be one of the guys I'll definitely have something from the interview on. Had a nice, I think, 5-7 minute discussion with him. You know, he's a high-energy guy. You saw that in the tape against Alabama, talking to him. He's a very personable person. He played wide receiver in high school, so that's kind of where he gets some of those ball skills from. And for whatever it's worth, because I know people are interested in that, he's a Steelers fan. He didn't grow up in Pittsburgh, but he loved the Steelers defense, loved watching Troy. You know, I heard that a lot from a lot of guys, how much they liked watching Troy growing up. But Byard's a guy to watch. Darian Thompson, I'm really big on. I'm not really sure where guys are going to go and what the Steelers' needs are going to be. But, you know, I'll say this, Dave. I would not be shocked to see Darian Thompson be the Steelers' first-round pick. I think he can do it all. He's 6'2". I think he came in at 217 or 219. 19 interceptions. He's a good, in, you know, to fill the alley as a run defender. I think he can play in coverage. I don't see a lot of noticeable flaws in his game, so I think Darian Thompson is one for sure. I'm trying to think of any other safeties that really stood out. Tyrus Powell from Ohio State. You know, the Steelers love taking those Ohio State kids. He had a couple of nice plays with the ball in the air, undercut a Jake Coker, throw in the end zone to Nick Vinette. So I think he had one or two interceptions in practice over this week. So it's another name to keep in mind, Tyvus Powell.
Darian Thompson should be the top. Would you rank him higher than Jeremy Cash?
Yes, I would. Of the group that was here, I think Thompson was probably the best. Cash, as much as I like, and I think we talked about this on the first podcast, Dave, just the scheme fit is really going to limit him to probably about five or six teams that use that strong safety kind of as that faux linebacker the way Arizona and St. Louis does. I think the team that makes the most sense for cash, and actually I was talking about this with a friend over lunch, I think it is St. Louis. You know, Mark Barron's going to be a free agent. It wouldn't shock me to see cash end up in St. Louis.
Let's see here, I want to put the tape on Thompson mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on my list for sure. I guess we'll go. You know, there's a lot of talk maybe about the Steelers needing some depth at defensive end, for sure. We know who's behind to it, and Cameron Hayward. We don't know. While we know those guys by name, Keshawn mm-hmm. Lyons, of course, and LT Walton. I'm not convinced either. We haven't seen tape on either one of them. I know Walton played a handful of snaps during the regular season, but not enough to really get a firm grasp on. But defensive ends, guys that could fit as 5-3 techniques in the Steelers front seven. Talk about a little bit about what you saw.
Yeah, it's still tough to try to find a guy that fits that mold well. I think Michigan State's Lawrence Thomas will be one on the list who has to probably get a little heavier. He came in at 285. But just watching the tape of him before the Senior Bowl, he's just strong at the point of attack. I think he's got a good anchor. He's not going to offer you anything as a pass rusher, which I think is going to limit his value quite a bit because, you know, regardless of your 3-4 or 4-3, you need the ends that can kick inside and get after the quarterback in sub-package football, which you're seeing 70% of the time. But that's a guy I definitely talk about. Adolphus Washington, Ohio State, again, that Ohio State connection. You know how the Steelers go to that well so often. I think he's a little too finesse, and I want to see some better power from him. He tries to get around guys too often, and he can do that. He's got good hands. He's got some moves. I think he's a good hand fighter, but I want to see a little bit more converting, you know, strength to power, and I'm not the only one that thinks that, Dave. But I think those might be two guys that kind of stick out. It's just tough to try to find that fit. There's so many guys that might be a nose tackle or a 4-3 kid. I love Sheldon Day from Notre Dame. I love his personality, but he came in under 6'1". He's got, you know, short arms for what the Steelers would look for. I bet he's not even on their board because he's just not going to meet those requirements. And I don't know if really anyone else stood out as a five tech, but definitely going to be a position the Steelers have to add in free agency or the draft.
Not that you can read too much into it, but Mike Tomlin was chirping away at Jihad Ward mm-hmm. out of Illinois at one point. From a measurement standpoint, he definitely looks and fits the bill. 6'5" and 1'8", 296. I was able to watch two games of his, and the thing that I saw, especially in the game against Penn State, I think it was, he got double teamed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say in the running game, and you saw him be able to anchor solidly, maybe about a quarter of the time, but a lot of time you would see the no-nos of him getting turned and not keeping square to the line of scrimmage. Now, some of the pre-draft thoughts that I've seen on him as far as early, you know, rounds, which means absolutely nothing at this point, you know, call him a sixth or really a seventh round kind of guy. Did he help himself any this week, and do you consider him a five technique 3-4 defensive end?
You know, he was a guy I only asked a couple questions to. He was at the podium Tuesday on media day, and he just said he felt like he can play anywhere. He's played the three, he's played the five. I asked him where he thought he really fit best. He didn't really have a preference. Obviously the measurables on paper are great, Dave, but just watching him in person, just standing next to him, the dude is just huge. He's got a really unique frame, just massive arms. And everyone's big to me, but Ward is even bigger. You know, I don't know where he's going to really go. I know, you know, he tries to hand fight. He's got a lot of energy, but it doesn't always translate into defeating the block. He's probably going to be a more coordinated player and probably have a better plan as a pass rusher. But he is definitely an intriguing guy. And if you look at him as a later round guy, I don't really know where he's ultimately going to fall. But you saw the Steelers take a very intriguing size, you know, prospect in Daniel McCullers. They have interest in that. So obviously Ward is not McCullers, but in terms of just that really interesting, whoa, who is this massive guy with this rare frame that can play? And I think Ward kind of fits into that, and you've seen the Steelers kind of go that route before. So it definitely wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers have interest, as you wrote about, you know, Tomlin talking and keeping a close eye on big, you know, Jihad Ward.
The thing is, he wasn't productive as a pass mm-hmm. rusher, neither statistically or on the tape that I've seen so far of
right.
him. Which, I mean, I would agree that he's probably a fifth or, you know, and of course we got a lot of tape. We got a lot of prospects still to look at. But I would think that you know, fifth round and on is probably his spot, and I'm interested to watch more tape on him. I know a lot of being you know, he comes from Penn State. Probably a lot of people listen to the podcast or Carl Nassib fans, but we're talking about a 4-3 defensive end there, right?
Well, it's really interesting. I think conventionally you would say 4-3 end, but man, Dave, maybe he could play outside linebacker. I know he's just a shade under 6'7". I think he came in 6'6 and three quarters. But the guy is very athletic. I think he's got really good bend. This is a guy that can get skinny and flatten the edge. You don't see that too often from guys that are nearly 6'7". I think he's an explosive guy. I think he's a guy that has to work on not getting overextended off the snap. But man, Dave, I really like this guy. You know, apparently I had heard some things that Tomlin was kind of watching Nassib closely and seemed, you know, pretty impressed by what Carl Nassib did. Again, I think 4-3 would probably make a lot of sense, and it certainly wouldn't surprise me. But maybe the Steelers have some different ideas. I don't want to pigeonhole a guy that I think is really talented like Nassib. I think he's going to be a good football player. I think it's, if you come away in a draft with good football players, you'll be able to find a fit for him regardless of what some measurables might say.
Well, you remember Anthony Chico mm-hmm. last year during in what All-Star game was he in?
He was in the Shrine, I think.
The Shrine, you know, one would have thought that you know, best suited for a 4-3 defensive end
mm-hmm.
Was able to get after the quarterback. But obviously at the combine, they put him through through the outside linebacker drills, and lo and behold, the Steelers draft him as an outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He drops some weight on top of it. So I guess it wouldn't be shocking at one point during the combine when those defensive I'm sure he'll go to the combine as a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be shocking to see him be put through the outside linebacker drills then, right?
I will guarantee you that Nassib goes through just one. I mean, you know, all it takes is one team to request it, and as long as Nassib's willing to do it, and hey, why wouldn't he? You know, he'll do it. But maybe there's even a chance of putting him as a five tech. Just, you know, if you bulk him up a little bit. Of course, he's undersized right now at 272, but he's got a big frame that I think can add some weight. So even if you got him to 295 or something like that at some point, you know, that I think that's a possibility too. I think outside linebacker might be a little bit more likely, but I just think you have options with Carl Nassib. I mean, you have a good football player that can do a lot of things, so you're going to have interest in it, and I'm definitely high on Carl Nassib.
So you would think a larger tweener.
Yeah, I guess, and kind of the opposite of Chickala, who was a little smaller guy. Yeah, Nassib's kind of the other way around. Again, you just give me good football players, I'll find your home for them. You know, the Steelers do enough things on defense with moving guys around. I mean, heck, as a, you know, an interior guy, third and long, when those guys, you know, Hayward, Tuitt, move as three techs, Nassib can totally play there. So they're doing that so often, you know, why couldn't Nassib play there?
Yeah, anybody else stick out as possible, you know, true kind of 3-4-5 techniques?
There's a couple guys I want to look at more. Charles Tapper from Oklahoma, Jerron Reed from Alabama. Now, Reed's kind of probably more conventionally as a one-tech or a nose tackle, but, you know, maybe I want to double-check some measurables and some tape on Jerron Reed. So it's a little bit of a challenge to find good five techs. You have to be a little creative with it, but there's definitely some guys to keep an eye on.
Edge rushers.
Am I going?
Yeah. No offense. Everybody just can't wait to watch this guy on Saturday.
Yeah, everyone's been.
He wore that. He wore several left tackles like a hat during the practice.
Yeah, I remember big old Raven Clark trying to go against him with Clark, that huge size and the length, and Spence was just shedding them constantly. Yeah, Spence has been one of the bigger buzzes here at the Senior Bowl, Dave. This is a guy that has good size. You know, maybe the length isn't perfect, and some people will knock him for that, but I don't consider him necessarily a small guy. Just watching him go by, I think he's got a big upper body. He's got these big biceps, you know, when you look at some of these other players. So I really don't consider him small, you know, and I've warmed up to Spence. When I first watched him through, I was a little mixed on him, and I do really want to see how he kind of sets a physical edge, if he can do that, because I didn't totally see that on tape. But, you know, I think he's got good hand use. I think he's got some counters. I think he needs to work on it some more, but what pass rusher out of college doesn't. But I think he's shown the ability to set up his rushes and win in multiple ways, and I think that's one of the most important things to me as a pass rusher. And if you see that in college and think you can develop that, I think you have something there. This is a versatile guy. He's put his hand up. He's put his hand down, left side, right side, dropping into coverage. He's lined up with his left hand down, his right hand down. The guy's kind of done it all, and he's really elevated his play competition, you know, and you might say Eastern Kentucky. Well, where the heck is that outside of Eastern Kentucky? But this was an Ohio State kid. He fell into a bad crowd. He did have a pretty serious history of drug problems, and we're talking some harder stuff like ecstasy, and that's ultimately what led to his dismissal at Ohio State. But to go with the Senior Bowl here, as Phil Savage says, you always get vetted by 3 or 4 scouts. They want guys with good character and integrity. So I think him being invited kind of helps speak to that and help kind of shows he's turning his life around and talking to some teammates of him. Braxton Miller, he was asked about Noah Spence. You know, Miller was very effusive in his praise of him, calling him, he's like a little brother to me, was so happy that he's kind of turned his life around. So there's going to be some questions that will definitely be asked by teams, and justifiably so. But I think Spence is going to impress a lot of teams with the way he carries himself and, of course, the play on the field.
Anybody else that you said, oh man, that looks like a 3-4 outside linebacker?
Oh, not a ton. I think this edge class is a little on the poor side. There might be a couple guys that interest me. Jordan Jenkins from Georgia. I didn't get a great look at him, but watching his tape, I think he's a guy that's kind of done it all. Just has a knack for the football. You know, I want to go back and look at my notes of him. I wanted to see Joshua Perry from Ohio State, but he got hurt. Reggie Ragland from Alabama, he played outside linebacker, even though he's thought of an inside guy. I think every single team is going to love Reggie Ragland. It's just going to be what team loves him the most. And I'll I don't know how I'll feel down the road, Dave, but I'll even put that on the table as a possibility for the Steelers at 25, Reggie Ragland, if he falls.
Either inside or outside, right?
Yeah, I think you can do a lot with him. I think conventionally most teams are going to see him as a Mike or an inside linebacker. In a 3-4, but I think he could possibly play outside as well.
Sound like the train. How often does a train come by?
Too often, and that's the first.
So often you don't even notice.
That's the first one since I've been back from Mobile, and I don't miss hearing the train, so sorry about that.
Guards, you know, there's an outside possibility Steelers might, you know, depend on what happens. Well, even regardless of what happens with Ramon Foster, I think we both agree there's a possibility kind of looking for maybe a guard early in a draft, maybe not. Any of these guys look, you know, not only have the look, but able to anchor and be able to get on the move?
There are several of them, Dave. I think a guard class down here was strong. I think Josh Garnett's going to be a first-rounder Stanford kid. And yeah, you might think, you know, oh, Stanford, he's just going to be a big power guy, which Garnett can be. But he's a really good athlete. He's got good feet. They pulled him a ton at Stanford. If you ever put on a tape or watched a game in the Pac-12, they ran everything. Actually, Garnett said, I asked him about what kind of blocking schemes they ran, and he said they ran everything, but the majority...
Power.
Power. But you'll be surprised. The majority of what Stanford ran this year was inside zone. That's what Garnett told me, which I know might sound a little surprising, but I think he's a guy that can move. I think he's got a great personality. Teams are going to love him. They're not going to say a bad thing about Josh Garnett. I think one of the things I like the most is just he took the most reps of anybody this week. And what I mean by that is everybody got even reps going through, you know, individual and team drills. But even in drills where he wasn't directly involved, he was always, you know, just taking a rep and shooting his hands. And if he got coached up or screwed something up, he'd go to the side and practice a couple of times and shoot his hands and work on his set. So he's just getting all those mental reps when, you know, most guys just kind of stand around and watch the other guy go through their actual rep. I think teams are really going to love Josh Garnett, and I do too. A couple other real quick I'll give to you. Christian Westerman from Arizona State. I didn't get a great look at him this week. I wasn't super impressed, but just watching his tape, he's another big, strong guy that has a great anchor that gets good arm extension and pass protection. I think he's got to do a little better job of locking those arms out as a run blocker, but I think Westerman's good. A lot of people are high on Cody White here out of Kansas State. He played tackle there. Some are projecting him to guard. He's a guy that's probably capable of doing both. I thought he struggled on Thursday. Sean Oakman, of all people, actually kind of worked him over pretty good. But he's got a big, wide base that can anchor, you know, and it's, you know, it's difficult to move around. So I think, you know, Whitehair's going to be attractive. Nick Martin, Zach's brother, I think has mainly played center, but you could probably move him to guard. He's another guy with incredibly strong hands that once he locks on, you're not going to be able to get off the block. And is another guy that's really strong. So I think there's a lot of great guards here that can sit and anchor down here at the Senior Bowl.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I think I've put on one full Stanford game and a partial of the other, just kind of looking at the offensive line and play in general, not focusing in on Garnett. Mm-hmm. But he was the left guard there?
Yes, he was.
I thought I had that straight. Kind of, if memory serves me, if I'm thinking, it kind of reminds you of a DeCastro a little bit.
Yeah, in terms of the athleticism, sure. I think probably DeCastro's a little better athlete. But I, you know, Garnett, don't view him as just a power guy. And I know Stanford website had him at 330, and he came in at 317. And I asked him, I said, you know, you're at 317 now. Did you make an effort to drop your weight? He said, no, I've always been 317. Stanford just tries to kind of plump him up a little bit to make him sound like a bigger guy. So he's always played at a lighter weight, but still has that power. And I think Garnett's going to be a first-round pick. It's just a question of to who.
I think DeCastro, even at his combine, came in like 6'4 and 7'8 mm-hmm. or something like that, 315, 316 mm-hmm. at the combine. And Lord knows what DeCastro weighs now.
Yeah, probably 330 or something.
Yeah, probably has bulked up a little bit. We run a little bit long, but Braxton Miller put on a show, didn't he?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He got hurt at the end of Thursday with a right leg injury. I don't know if he's going to play. And also, real quick, just to go back to it, because it just jogged my memory, Dave, Jihad Ward hurt his wrist, I think, on Thursday, and they weren't sure if he's going to play tomorrow. So check that out for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I know Miller's raw, 26 career catches. The hype's getting a little too out there, maybe. But I thought Miller was an advanced route runner that was doing some better things than guys that have played the position for much longer than Braxton Miller. I think he's a guy that's explosive at the top of his route. He's got good hands. I think he does a nice job of being able to separate at the top. There's probably still some work to do there. But he's just a guy that wins and gets open off the field. He's a laid-back guy. He's a funny guy. He took, you know, 20 minutes to talk to us, the media in a press conference. Just a laid-back, funny guy that's not afraid to crack some jokes in what is the biggest event of his life so far. I think he's an easygoing guy, and I think he's really impressive. He wants to run a 4.28 at the combine, so circle that number, see how close he gets.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is just athlete
mm-hmm.
with him.
Every sense of the word.
You know, and you really have to be the kind of I don't want to call him a slash player mm-hmm. because it's obvious he's going to have to make it in the NFL as a wide receiver. But, hey, we've seen the Steelers go after a few Hines Wards. Mm-hmm. And I like his – he looks like a physical specimen too. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see – go back and look at some of his stuff this past year on tape as far as him being a blocker. If he plays Saturday, will he return punts?
I expect him to. He was returning punts and kickoffs, and he said that was actually probably the toughest part of practice because he just felt a little gassed because he was doing the special teams on top of playing, you know, wide receiver. So assuming he's healthy enough to go, absolutely, Dave, he will be part of special teams.
Nick, quickly with tight end, I was not impressed at all with what I saw of Bryce Williams mm-hmm. out of East Carolina. Didn't even look like he belonged there, quite yeah. honestly. Nick Varnett, though, out of Ohio State, what were your initial thoughts
yeah,
on him?
I didn't get the best look at him, but from talking to some other people, they said he was impressive. You know, he made a couple nice catches, I think, in one-on-one. Yeah, the tight end group was not great down there. I'm with you on Bryce Williams, and he's a nice kid, yes sir, no sir kind of kid talking to him. But I just don't think he's going to be able to separate at the NFL level, and he had some pretty costly drops. A couple other guys, Jarrell Adams from South Carolina, had a really strong Thursday to close things out, being able to separate, being able to be a good blocker, some of these outside zones that they were running, being able to set your hips, make some contested catches. I thought Adams had a nice day, and then Henry Krieger Coble, I thought also had a good Thursday one-on-one, beating Darian Thompson, and you know I like Thompson a lot, made a one-handed catch off of that, a little shake route, and then another low-diving catch against K.J. Dillon. So he's got a guy that's not going to win, you know, vertically, but is good top of his route with good hands. They asked him to do a lot of assignments at Iowa, pass protect against defensive ends, run block where you're reaching from the backside, your base blocking, of course, running the route tree as well. Similar to what Jesse James did, similar to what the Steelers asked their tight ends to do now. So, you know, again, we're very early into this thing, but I think if there's one tight end that fits all the criteria and all the assignments of what the Steelers are looking for, it's going to be Henry Krieger Coble out of Iowa.
All right, we're running a little bit long. We'll talk a little bit more about the Senior Bowl and kind of recap the Senior Bowl probably sometime next week. But if you had to, for Steelers fans listening to this, 10 players that Steelers fans should be keeping their eye on Saturday.
Oh my goodness, you're hitting me with that question. Let me just quickly pull up a roster here just to make sure I'm not missing anybody. 10 players. Oh
yeah.
My goodness!
You got to give these guys something.
That's why I'm okay with going a little bit longer, just because I figured, you know, we didn't do it the last 2 days, and again, I apologize about that. But on Wednesday, they had that all 22 film, and I just couldn't pass that up because I was just going, man, this opens up a whole new window, and you're sitting there, and the scouts in there, and you kind of hear some things from scouts on what they kind of like and don't like, and that's always, I think, a ton of fun just to get to maybe listen in, a fly on the wall. In a couple conversations. I think it's okay if we go a little bit longer today. Let me just – so the guys we've talked about, Harlan Miller, Darian Thompson, those are guys in the secondary I really like. Carl Nassib is an outside linebacker that maybe Tomlin has some interest in. So there's three right there. Who else have we talked about? Lawrence Thomas. I don't think he's going to be a much different player on Saturday than I saw on tape. But he's a guy that I think makes sense as a five tech. Josh Garnett, because I think he's one of the better players there. Reggie Ragland, because I think he's probably the best player there in terms of where they're going to get drafted and how good they are. Although you probably should throw Carson Wentz in there, the quarterback guy at North Dakota State. So I got five right there. Let me go down the list here, see if there's anybody else that's...
Kevin Byard?
Yeah, in terms of a Steelers standpoint, watch Byard hit some people. That's definitely a good call, Dave, so that's six. I want to get a good look at Cody Whitehair because I'm hearing so many good things about him, but I just haven't seen enough myself, so we'll do that. That's seven. We'll throw in Noah Spence as maybe the first edge guy to go in this draft. I think he's a guy that's getting very close to kind of almost being locked in as that first-round pick, and I'm careful with the word locked in because we're so early into this thing, but Noah Spence is definitely a guy to watch, so that's going to be eight. Let me give you another corner, Jonathan Jones out of Auburn, just because I thought he finished the week strong. I want to see if he carries that over into the game. So that's going to be nine. And let me find one more here on the North roster. Let me give you a receiver that I hadn't talked about yet, but Chris Moore out of Cincinnati, shows good body control. He's got a really nice set of hands. He's a hard worker. I think he's a good route runner that doesn't drift on his routes. He's about just under 6'1" out of Cincinnati. I know the Steelers, of course, are not going to be big needs for a receiver, but they always draft them. We had that conversation a couple podcasts ago, Dave. Almost every year, they're at least taking one receiver to kind of play around with. Are you thinking some later round guys? I'm kind of thinking about a guy like Chris Moore.
North, the more talented squad?
Yeah, I think so. I was having an actual conversation with a couple guys, too. I think the South has a really good defensive line, though. So if that defensive line can eat and get after it, then that might, you know, give the North a lot of problems. But I think overall, the North probably has the more talented roster.
And I think a lot of people hope Braxton Miller plays. We'll have to see how that calf goes.
Mm-hmm.
He sure was getting it worked out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he does end up missing a game there. Any kind of other final thoughts on your week, Alex?
It's just, you know, I don't get to focus on a lot of other coaches and other teams sometimes because I'm so hyper-focused on the Steelers, Dave. But it was really fun to watch Gus Bradley practice. I think he's with the South. I always get him mixed up, North and South. But he's just a really fiery dude that makes these practices fun. The Cowboys practice, it's very good, but it's a little bit more of that serious, less, I think, you know, loose environment, which is understandable considering, you know, what this game means to these players. But, man, Gus Bradley's just a fun guy to talk to. He's pretty honest to talk about his players fairly openly. You know, I think he's a guy that you really want to play for, that these players are going to come together and play for. So I think from that standpoint, all these players I talked to were great guys. It was a little intimidating for me to talk to these guys at media day because literally they finish up eating dinner and then you just go in and just ask if you could talk to them. You grab the player, you know. So Kevin Byard, I said, Kevin, can I talk to you for a second? That's a little intimidating to do, especially some of these bigger guys. I talked to Sheldon Day, he was almost three bills. It's a little intimidating. But all these guys were great and receptive. They had some media training early in the week to kind of, you know, what to expect and how you talk to the media. I think most of those guys responded well to it, but everybody was open, and like I said, it was an absolute blast. Great 5 days, and I just absolutely cannot wait to get back to Mobile next year.
What'd you learn as far as scouting techniques go? What one or two things did you maybe learn about scouting maybe a certain position?
Oh, man, that's a really good question, and that's probably what I need to dedicate some more thought to. I think one is just I was talking to somebody, I think Brandon Thorne. He's gone through the Scouting Academy. If you follow him on Twitter, he's an O-line guru. You know, just talking about, you know, level of dedication in organization, to create a system, to create a criteria to go off of, to be very specific in your reports. It was very interesting. We were just talking before practice yesterday, and I was asking about, you know, scouting reports and the Scouting Academy and things like that, and they said, you know, you can't use phrases like at times or sometimes. You want to be really specific about what situations a guy struggles in, if it's a certain down or if it's red zone or if it's home or away or even the weather and things like that. So I think there's that aspect of really being as very detail-oriented as possible, not being vague in your reports. And then just watching some of that All-22 and just getting to talk to other guys. It's just basic things like, you know, being able to some of the vernacular, you know, I think, you know, how to explain things and how to, you know, take things from what you're thinking and how to explain it properly and clearly. But just watching the All-22, just seeing, you know, how routes are run. You know, you see a guy like Jay Lee that really rounds his routes off. You see guys like KJ May that are very precise in their routes. I mean, I could talk all day, and I know I already am, about what there is to learn. But, you know, I want to work much harder, or at least that much harder, at what we do here at Steelers Depot and at the draft and in Steelers-related stuff. And I really want to take this off season to really, I think, you know, invest in myself and get better at what I do, to keep learning, because there's some great people to learn from, some people I met that are going to be some great resources and some genuinely good guys. I'll get off my soapbox, but yeah, just to learn every day, to be open and just to keep fighting and working.
Hey, we'll start probably with our draft profile starting on, what do you think, Monday?
Probably something like that. I know Josh Carney's going to be involved in that, but definitely this week I think we're going to start getting some reports up.
All right, sounds good. And like I said, folks, Alex will probably this won't be the last time he will be on the podcast. Probably be sitting in for David a lot during the off season, and we might do a special, even a special Wednesday edition now and then to kind of talk more about draft prospects in particular. If you have a question that you would like Alex to answer, maybe in a future podcast, why don't you email me? Let's see, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Put ask Alex in the subject lines. That way I can separate those things out and hold them aside, and maybe we'll dedicate 10 or so questions in an upcoming podcast to that as well too. Alex, appreciate it, and folks, we appreciate you donating to be able to send Alex down there as well too, and that means a lot. We were able to cover the whole trip, and hopefully this becomes kind of a yearly thing for Alex as well too. Alex, thanks for joining me again on this Friday night. This podcast will go up sometime later Friday evening, and hopefully you'll get to listen to it before the Senior Bowl. But if you don't, it's good information, and you'll watch the replay of the Senior Bowl after you listen to this if you don't listen to it beforehand. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, and tonight, Alex Kazor. Good night.